Hey, science fans, now you can have all of the Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CD from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Hear Bob and Fred present the compelling scientific evidence that the Earth is young and that there is a creator. Real Science Friday 2007, 2008, and 2009 are each available by calling 1-800-8-NYART. Or you can get the MP3 CDs or the MP3 downloads at kgovstore.com. Is there evidence that God exists? In Bob Enyart's video seminar, Does God Exist?, Bob presents the evidence that God does exist and the evidence that teaches us about God's character. The 2-DVD video set, Does God Exist?, is now available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART and at kgovstore.com. Again, that's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, we have a fun thing to talk about because a creationist book was written which denies a young earth and a global flood and the biblical recent creation account.
If you deny a young earth, you deny a global flood. Why do those go together all the time?
We had a brilliant caller a few shows back who made that observation. He called in and said, you know, it's so obvious, and it's true time and time again, whenever a creationist, and there are various ones like Reasons to Believe, for example, that's Dr. Hugh Ross, and so many through the years, through the decades, when they deny that God created in 6 literal days, they also end up denying the global flood and the story of Noah, and they deny even the sequence of the creation days, the creation events, typically.
Yeah, they seem to worship the geological column as viewed from the secularists, right?
Yeah. So there is a book that is reviewed. Your organization that you're the webmaster for, Creation Research Society, in their quarterly journal, they reviewed a book called Understanding Creation by Mark Wharton and Hill Roberts. And this book, it's a beautiful book, and it advocates that we believe in the Creator, the God of the Bible, but they are old earth, and therefore they're not biblical creationists. They're old earth. And Fred, the book talks about things like the age of the universe, the sequence of creation events, and the extent of Noah's flood.
Yeah, and then they mention this statement that the greatest objection to the recent creation view is that it conflicts with impressive scientific evidence, thus requiring one to regard virtually all of modern science as fundamentally mistaken, not just about the age of the earth, but also about the findings and principles that have made modern technologies possible. Really?
That's a big claim. And Fred, I've heard that claim over and over. Have you ever heard that?
I have, actually. I've debated it. I've heard it many times.
Yeah, like
I can't
nothing,
count the times I've heard it.
Like nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution, Darwinism. And so here is that statement applied to the age of the earth, which is that these creationists, biblical creationists who take the Genesis account of the creation and the flood literally, and the Tower of Babel, that not only are they wrong about the age of the earth, but, and you just read the quote, but just the very end of it here to emphasize, but they're also wrong about most of the findings and principles that have made modern technologies possible, so we disregard all of that too. Now that's a howler, and that comes up often. And I emailed to you this little interaction with an evolutionist that I had at Theology Online in the Bob Enyart Live forum. And Fred, I'm wondering, do you have that handy?
I do have it handy.
The evolutionist's name is Alate One, and a known quantity on Theology Online. And Alate One has this post where she is taking to task. She's mocking modern creation science, and she's saying that we have produced nothing that actually works, no medical breakthroughs. Well, she'd have to talk to Demadian.
Oh, absolutely. The inventor of the MRI.
Of the MRI, Raymond Demadian. And how about Terra, the software that helps geologists all over the world understand the crust of the Earth? That was published.
Was that Baumgartner?
Yeah, John Baumgartner at one of our national labs, who's a young Earth creationist.
He was even featured on Time magazine. Imagine that.
Yeah.
A creation scientist.
Yeah, and we could go on and on and on, of course, hundreds of examples. But, Fred, let's look at the bigger picture. She basically says that creationists can't produce science that works, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. She says that mainstream science is the only science that actually works.
Yeah, mainstream science, meaning non-creationist science.
Yeah.
Because if you believe in creation, then your ideas can't bear any scientific fruit.
And she's typing this post on a computer, right?
Right.
And where does the technology for computer come from? Does it come from evolutionary thought?
Ooh, I think it comes from Pascal, in fact.
That's right.
And Pascal was a creationist who gave us Pascal's wager.
That's right. The foundation of all modern science, we know, comes from creation scientists, Bible-believing scientists.
So here's what she says, and we're talking about this in regards to the claim in this book that if you deny the age of the earth, you're denying virtually all of modern science, and you're mistaken also about most of the findings and principles that have made modern technologies possible.
That's amazing.
That's quite a claim. So why don't we do this? Why don't we think about Darwin's insight and what technologies have resulted from Darwin's insight?
Well, I can think of one.
What?
Tonsils are no good, so we should take them out.
Tonsils are a vestigial organ.
That's right.
And now,
was that good or bad science?
Bad science. In fact, the pituitary gland was a vestigial organ, had no function. In fact, dozens of glands and organs that had no function are now being realized, well, wait a minute, we don't really want to discard that if we don't have to, because they have functions.
That's right.
Some of them, vital functions.
That's right. Even the appendix is now discovered to have a function.
Yeah, a reservoir of good bacteria for when you're sick and you lose the good bacteria in your digestive tract. So, Fred, we have a list in front of us that we provided to Alate One, and we gave her a challenge. And so it's a list of major inventions and technologies since 1860. And we compiled this based on an overall list of 1,000 inventions since 1860. And if you take the entire list, it still makes the same point, which is very good for creationists. So which one of these were enabled by Darwinian insight? And then how about the technologies and inventions that are enabled by Kepler, Galileo, Newton, Mendel, Bacon? Now, these are all creation scientists.
Yeah, common theme here.
Right. The fathers of most of the branches of modern science, the physical sciences. Newton, Mendel, Bacon, Pascal, Dalton, Faraday, Joule, Kelvin, Lister, the Wright brothers, and Carver. Okay? So there's a few big names. All those scientists, they're on our list. Now, apparently, all their discoveries and insights led to no breakthroughs, no technologies, right? Now here's a list of technologies, and which of these did they need Darwinism to develop? Let's go back and forth. Let me do the first five or so.
Okay.
Light bulb.
Well, let's see. Can that evolve through a random chance and blind selection? No, nope,
I don't think
do that
so.
One.
But I think the guys who helped us understand electricity, I think they're right up there with the importance of the discovery of the light bulb. And vacuums, pasteurization.
Louis Pasteur.
Right.
Well, there's a creationist.
Railway, the railroads, typewriters. Okay, so we're back in the 1860s. I don't think we need a Darwinism for these.
I don't think so.
Right. We'll try to figure out, and we'll ask Alate One, which of these technologies, inventions, did we need Darwinism for? Or for that matter, Fred, an old Earth. Okay, because it's all these creationists, many of whom were young Earth, who gave us the technologies and discoveries to enable all these.
Well, then you got electric motor, carburetor, right. Loudspeaker, telephone.
Telephone.
So how do we get the telephone from Darwinian thought?
From Darwinian thought. In fact, actually the opposite, because it was thanks to Bell Labs that there was a tremendous investigation into information science. And information science has been a boon to understanding genetics. That was Claude Shannon, right?
That's right, Claude Shannon. Yeah, information theory. But if you think about Francis Crick, the discoverer of DNA, and it was the information in the DNA that made him reject neo-Darwinism. Now, he's still an atheist.
He's an atheist, but he said, look, this information in the genome could not come about by random mutation and natural selection.
That's right.
Yeah. The phonograph, the microphone that we're using right now, microphones, photographic film, seismographs, Fred, and solar panels. Still, I can't find anything that requires a belief in an old Earth or Darwinism or even anything that either of those beliefs enabled a technology or an invention so far.
So far.
All right.
So far, the score is 0 to 15
or so. Yeah.
And then we've got punch cards. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Cars.
I started with computers on punch cards.
I did too, doing Fortran.
Ah, yeah, I remember the days of Fortran.
Put in a big deck of cards and you throw it into a computer. And
COBOL.
Yeah.
An assembler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting down
and
the
low level.
And if
you drop your program, each character is on a card, a hole is punched in it, and you get the card punchers from IBM. And if you drop your program, it goes like a deck of cards on the floor.
Exactly.
And you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And that's why they invented the felt tip marker so the programmers could write on the sides of the decks of cards, write their names and the program number and name it.
Oh, is that right? That's why they...
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Oh, the felt tip pen. Is that on this list?
No.
So we got cars.
Automobiles. They didn't evolve. And I don't think you needed Darwinism to get cars.
But wait a minute. I've
Henry
seen
Ford's
cars that
assembly
have tires
line.
On them. So we have wheels, and, you know, there's a scientist, J.B.S. Haldane, that said that you can't get a wheel or a magnet by natural selection processes. This is an evolutionist who said that.
Because it would have to work to confer a value, a survival value. And so if you have half of a magnet or half of a wheel, it's not going to work.
Boy, half a wheel, that'd be...
All right, so your list here, punch cards, cars, what else you got?
Combustion engine.
All right.
AC transformer.
Mm-hmm.
Contact lens, that's interesting.
So none of these so far, I don't see any invention or technology that requires a belief in Darwinism, but the guys on our side really gave us principles that enable everything on this list.
Yeah, everything on this list.
Tractor, a ballpoint pen. Huh, you asked about a felt tip pen.
Yeah.
Ballpoint pen, cinematography, wind energy. So, no, we don't need Darwinism for any of these or an old Earth.
A zipper,
right.
Escalator, x-rays. Okay.
X-rays.
Remote control. So remote control, that's not a Darwinian thing.
No,
right.
to a couch potato.
Yeah.
Couch potatoes and remote control go together, but you don't need Darwinism for either of them.
Tape recorder. Air conditioning.
All right.
Firefighting foam.
Right. A neon lamp, EKG to detect heart disease, airplanes.
That reminds me of the Wright brothers. Didn't we just mention them?
Yeah, Wright brothers were creationists. And we're not saying that all these are invented by creationists. What we're saying is you don't need a belief in Darwinism to invent any of these technologies because Darwinism is not a necessary part of the invention or the development of any of these.
Yeah.
Old Earth, Darwinism, nothing makes sense in biology in light of evolution. These are wild exaggerations that are not based on truth.
That's right.
They're propaganda, they're hype.
They're easily exposed when you just look at a list like this.
Yeah.
It's common sense.
Right. Seismometer, sonar, radio, TV.
So wait a minute. So sonar... Now, you know, a lot of these things that we're going through, we learned how to do these things from reverse engineering the master designer of the universe.
Bats and dolphins, they have
echolocation. Yep.
Whales, that is just so cool. Rockets.
And you didn't mention Wernher von Braun.
Von Braun.
He's a
NASA,
creationist.
The father of
rocket science,
who's a creationist. He was also a bad guy. in that he worked for the Nazis in World War II, developing, what was it, the V-2?
I think so.
Let's see, radar, sliced bread, that was quite an invention, transfusion, there I think about Harvey, William Harvey. Wasn't he the creation scientist who first really nailed the circulatory system?
Yeah.
The EEG, steel, radio telescopes, jet engines, the computer. We mentioned Pascal, Blaise Pascal, and he gave us Pascal's wager. If there is no God, then all the Christians, when they die, they're dead. If there is a God, the Christians are in good shape, and the atheists are in big trouble.
That's right.
So he said, just think about it logically. The Velcro, the transistor, the atomic clock, nuclear reactor, fiber optics. Which of these discoveries do you need Darwinism or an old Earth to achieve? Which of these inventions and technologies? None of them.
None of them. And you're not going to think of any of them. But we can go on. We got fiber optics, hard drives, satellites. Spandex, okay.
Spandex and spam.
And spam. Okay, yes, spam. That's true. Well, maybe you do need evolution for that because that's kind of like going downhill, you know, because we realize evolution is a downhill thing.
Yeah.
Spam would be kind of like a downhill.
It's like a mutation or a virus.
Yeah, that's a majorly mutated food.
Yeah, but spandex and spam, that spam might be the kind you eat.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know it was edible. Then lasers, okay, digital photography, optical disc, 3D holography.
Yes, and LEDs, light-emitting diodes, the mouse, the lunar lander. Mouse came before the lunar lander. This is basically a chronological list.
Okay.
The Venus lander, video games, video cassettes, the space station, email, karaoke, LCD, liquid crystal display. What else we got on the list?
We've got the microprocessor.
Don't need Darwinism for that.
Don't need
it
for that.
Or an old Earth.
And we've talked about the MRI before.
Yep.
Ethernet. PC, DNA sequencing. And then now you got the internet, which is what Al Gore really invented.
Right.
And then plasma TV. Okay.
Plasma TV.
GPS, global position satellite.
Mm-hmm.
MP3 player.
Yep.
And then flash drive.
And a flash drive. So... hey, here's an invite to any evolutionist listening to the show.
We went through a long list.
Yeah. Which of those technologies or inventions require a belief in Darwinian evolution or in an old Earth as enabling technologies? So that is a lie. It is a lie to say that modern science, what was the quote you read from Elate One, the evolutionist on Theology Online?
Yeah. Mainstream science is the only science that actually works.
Yeah.
And that is amazing.
It's a fabrication. It's not true.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to challenge them to try to come up with inventions that we have because of evolution.
Yeah.
We've just rattled through a whole big, long list of ones
that you don't need Darwinism for.
Is there one that they can even think of that they need Darwinian thought
to invent?
And you
don't need old Earth for.
Yeah.
Now, there might be technologies that were invented in order to try to prove, like let's say that there are aliens. So as we use our radio telescopes and all, we might have improved or even invented technologies to search for alien signals coming to Earth. But that search doesn't prove that there are aliens.
It proved that there was pulsars.
It proved there were pulsars, right. Isn't it funny if they found the littlest intelligent signal coming, even if it's only like 30 bits that look like an intelligent sequence, they'd say that's proof for intelligent design in the universe. But we have the genomes of a million species overflowing with encyclopedias of information, and they say that's not evidence for intelligent design.
Well, it's like the movie Contact, the one that Sagan wrote.
With Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster, where she said she heard a signal from space, and it was the prime numbers. And I can't quote her exactly, but it was something to effect, this cannot be by natural processes.
Yeah, right.
Okay, wait
a
minute.
My own brain can.
You're getting a fairly simple intelligent signal from space, the prime numbers. You attribute that to an intelligent source, but you won't look at the genome,
which is far more complex. Or any other genome.
Far more information.
Way more.
Way more. Better storage, all these things, and it's not due to intelligence. It's due to mistakes.
Right.
And blind selection.
Right.
Mistakes.
Yeah. So Fred Williams, this review in Creation Research Society Quarterly of Understanding Creation. So that's a claim they make that we can't understand or we disagree with all principles of science that have led to modern technologies that have made them possible. They say that have made them possible. That's flat out misinformation. And then there's a quote here that flood geology, which is a belief in a young earth and all,
mm-hmm.
and that the strata with fossils are all from the global flood, Noah's flood. They say that flood geology has its roots in the teachings of the Seventh-day Adventist prophetess Ellen White. And she's the one who taught that Noah's flood, global flood, was responsible for the geological column and the fossil record. Fred, what? Is it possible? Now, this is a pretty sophisticated looking book about biblical and scientific evidence regarding creation. Is it possible that they're right that flood geology began with Ellen White? Is that possible?
Well, no. First of all, flood geology in its purest sense began with Moses wrote about it. He's the first one to write about it. But you know what's funny about this is I debated somebody on my forum who must have read this book. They said the same thing, that Ellen G. White started the whole idea of a global flood and flood geology. And I was astonished by that. Well, I wasn't really astonished because nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
But he must have read this book because, well, this is the second time I've seen this when I saw this book review.
Well, she died about a century ago, 1915.
Yep.
So she's pretty recent. And there are a couple centuries of flood geology and flood geologists before her.
Before her.
Yeah.
Flood geology, again, these are people who support a global flood, a biblical account, right?
Right. Now, we have a couple examples. You could go back to the early Christians, many of them, including Tertullian, Chrysostom, and Augustine, who attributed fossils in the strata layer to Noah's flood. So that goes way back.
That goes way back.
Before Ellen.
Yeah. And again, they say that the roots are in her writings.
Right. Robert Hooke wrote a book. He died in 1703. And he proved by microscopic analysis that fossils were mineralized remains of former living creatures. And that really fed into a strong period of flood geology. In fact, I have a summary from the Geological Society's website, and they are the world's oldest national scientific society, the Geological Society of London. They have their 200th anniversary. There was a publication of Geology and Religion that was coincidental with their 200th anniversary. They have a summary, you know, of the history of geology. And a prominent topic is that of flood geology, they say. Now, they never mention Ellen White. They don't mention her, at least in their article on their website here.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, originating alongside geology itself in the 1700s was the theory that the current geological features of the earth resulted from a global flood, as described in the Genesis account of Noah's Ark. That theory was popular for centuries until gradually uniformitarian geology replaced it among leading geologists, but they say today flood geology is undergoing resurgence as part of the increasingly prevalent creationist movement.
So where did they get the idea that Ellen G. White originated flood geology?
It's like Voltaire. They're revisionist historians.
It is. It's revisionist history.
Right. Voltaire said that science was impeded by Christianity, and modern historians of science today say, no, it was the opposite. It was Christians in a belief in an orderly universe from an orderly creator that gave us the fathers of so many of the branches of the natural sciences. And Fred, some of the leading geologists were young earth creationists who believed that Noah's flood explained the surface of the earth, like Niels Stenson, who died in 1686, also known as Steno. In his book, Forerunner, he said he believed that the earth was about 6,000 years old and that the fossil-bearing strata were deposited by Noah's flood. There were other leading geologists like John Woodward from England and Johann Lehmann from Germany, who wrote the same thing.
Yeah. These guys are all, what, a couple hundred years before Ellen G. White?
Yeah.
Where do they get this information that they put in this book and then people end up citing it? I'm telling you, it had to be from this book that this guy said that on my forum. But I also noticed in this same book that they mock, you know, some of the more modern creation scientists who were flood geologists, such as Henry Morris. They call him, you know, civil engineer Henry Morris. Well, Henry Morris was far more than a civil engineer. That was his bachelor degree. His master's degree was in hydraulics, and his PhD was in hydraulics engineering. I think he's pretty well qualified to speak on the effects of water and, you know.
And how it would carve the surface of the earth.
That's right.
Yeah. So we see this frequently, that there are these gross exaggerations that are made against creationists and claims for the atheist and old agers and Darwinists that cannot be substantiated. So this book, they believe in creation, but they take the Genesis account and they make it figurative. And they say the earth has been here for billions of years. And Fred, there's a lot of scientific evidence now challenging that, including that you find carbon-14 everywhere where it shouldn't be because it decays in thousands of years. And they find it in coal, oil, gas, amber, dinosaur fossils, and even diamonds.
Well, the fossils themselves, the marine life that we find buried all over the world on all the major mountain ranges, what's evidence of a global flood?
Yeah, and now
Didn't Moses say that the floodwaters covered the mountains?
Yeah, exactly.
We have sea life on the mountains.
And now old Earth geologists are telling us in the strata of the Grand Canyon, it's exposed so beautifully. They're saying that there's 100 million years missing between undisturbed layers, like knife-sharp, razor-sharp layers.
Flat gaps.
And they say, well, between this gap and this gap, there were 20 million years passed. Between that gap and that gap, there was 60 million years.
And I think a hydraulic engineer could say, look, there's going to be a lot more erosion on those flat surfaces. There's no way that's over millions of years it remained flat like that.
In a few thousand years, the erosion that has occurred in Colorado is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Hey, thank you, Fred Williams, for Real
Thanks,
Science
Bob.
Friday. KGov.com, and we could use your help and support. God bless you.
Would you like to study the Bible, but don't really know where to start? Bob Inyart's seminar on hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, will help you to study and understand the Bible on a whole new level. Hermeneutics, Tools for Studying the Bible, is available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.